Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it beautiful to be inspired by such warm and loving music? Let me tell you, it makes my heart feel good, and I'm sure it does yours too. I want to just give you a warm welcome here this morning. It's nice to see this group out again with us and be able to share our hearts and our moments with Jesus. And in our welcome this morning, I got a little something I want to share with you. I thought it was kind of cute myself. You know, I'm kind of crazy, so forgive me. But it says, "Welcome to the Monocacy Clinic. Our main office is in heaven. The hospital is owned and operated by Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the great and chief physician. He continues his threefold mission of preaching, teaching, and healing. Our services are free. The bill will be paid in full on the old rugged cross. Some routine questions. How about your heart? Is it right with God? Where is your heart, your treasures? What means the most to you? How is your temperature? Are you warm? Are you cold? Or lukewarm to the Lord? How is your appetite? With what are you feeding your heart and your mind? Are you hungry and thirsty for spiritual food? Are you exercising with the Word of God and in prayer? Currently, the PA is Brother Sam Martz. Prescription for the next 40 days, read Psalms 139. Amen. Welcome. I thought that was kind of inspiring, so I had to, share it with you. Anyhow, now announcements. Have any announcements pertaining to the church?
I just want to remind the ladies that we need cake space for Friday evening, the spaghetti dinner. So please find your kitchen oven and bake a cake.
Hear that, girls?
Which will follow bake up the cake. With the spaghetti dinner. There's flyers on the back bench. It is this Friday evening across the room here at the Activities Building. So this is our Bible school fundraising spaghetti dinner. It also will be a silent option there as well. So if you need a flyer to take along, there's some on the back bench. Also on the back bench, if you haven't seen them, is our auction booklets. If anybody goes to the district auction, they are back there. Help yourself to one. And our advertisement is on page 68 for our church. So they're back there on the bench as well, or back at the table.
Any others, please?
The sign-up sheet, cleaning sign-up sheet for the church is listed. I only need 3 more months, October, November, December. So if anybody wants to, and if they don't have a partner to tag team, let me know, and I'll be glad to help.
Everybody get that? Got 3 more months to sign up for cleaning, so if you have an interest and some ambition, put your name down there, please. Okay, any others? No others? All right. Quiet morning. We just appreciate you all being here this morning. And in that little thing I read, and I said about PA, Sam Martz. Do you know what the PA stood for?
Physician.
Huh? That's right. So, Sam, you got a lot of responsibility. You
know that.
But thank you for being here. Anyhow. Okay, our call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 116, 1-4. Please open your bulletins and read along with me. It says, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surround me, and the pangs of Sheol lay hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul." Let us pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, knowing you already given us all we need to be your true and faithful servants. Father, help us. Begin this day with the mind focused on your will for our life and our heart, bursting with gratitude for your blessings. So, Father, please let us in this morning bring us the word of your unfailing love, for we have put our trust in you. So, Father, just show us the way we should go, for to you we lift our soul to you. And, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time we'll have a hymn.
Number 517, please stand and grateful.
With all the givings the Lord has given us, and we put our tithes in the box in the back, let us give him a little praise as we offer a little invocation here. Father God, as we come before you this day, knowing that your labors to fulfill our deeds here on this earth can be prosperous if we just follow your word and your will. Oh, Father, we just thank you that you've allowed us to work and to sweat and be able to earn an income to be able to put into this church and into the box. Oh, Father, we have so many blessed hands that gives so much, so many times. So, Father, just bless each and every one that has touched that with a special monetary gift. And bless each and every giver. And then bless where the money goes and how we use it. So, Father, we just thank you always for each and every moment of our lives we share with you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Joys and concerns. Yeah.
Keep Wanda and Francis in your prayers. Francis has had to go to a cardiologist and she has to have some tests run. And Wanda's got something like bronchitis or whatever, so she's been under the weather. They and Steve battled. Steve had strep throat. He's better now. Pretty much better, and then she had something, some kind of viral thing, so keep them in your prayers.
Thank
and
you.
George, Alice's friend George.
Okay, thanks. Maxine.
And my sister Irene, and I think Deb's coming up this weekend, so
You say Deb?
She's coming up next week.
Irene and Deb, right? Okay. Nancy? Okay, thank you. Frank?
Yeah, we're going to continue to keep those in our prayers. He's been having physical issues and problems, and et cetera, such as Pat, you, Bob, Ralph, Wilton, and Danny, and so on and so forth. And those I forgot to mention, Lord knows who they are and what their needs are. We just pray, Father, for each and every one of them that He'll relieve them of their pains and their suffering. And also we want to remember the Ukraine and all the countries and so forth where there's been disturbances and so forth taking place. And the shootings that have been taking place, especially here in America, we need to really pray about that. And we're thankful to have Brother Sam and Sister Jackie with us this morning.
Amen to that. Amen. Others, please.
I want to keep my friend Pat on the prayer list.
Pat?
Yeah, she celebrated her 80th birthday. We had her party last Sunday. And I just got a message this morning from her. She's not feeling very well and asked to be in prayer. I also got a message from someone else that asked if we put their friend Carol. I don't know Carol's, just Carol. She's very, very ill. They asked if we could have her added to our prayer list. I have a few unspoken requests, and of course, my list, continued list. Yes, and Mom.
I have her. Thank you. Any others, please? Bradley.
I want to continue to pray for Woody.
Woody.
And for Bill. And for Salvation Prayer Family.
Thank you. Others? I know there's been, thank you, there's been an awful lot of stuff going around with sinuses and throat and just feeling terrible. And I know my wife's got a case of it too, so that's why she's not here as well. But anyhow, we're just grateful for your presence. We're just grateful that I understand that Deb took a fall and her shoulder isn't feeling too good. So.
It's still attached, but she's not very good.
So now Ralph's got to do all the work. Okay. Any others, please? A little something here before we go to prayer, just to think about. It says, Dad speaking, it says, can I see your report card, son? And the son said, I don't have it, Dad. He said, why? The son said, I gave it to my friend. He wanted to scare his parents. I want you to think about that a minute. What kind of report card do we have facing our master? And just how well do we want to scare him, or do we want to love him or have him love us? So let us think about that. I thought that was... I tell you, probably some of the report cards I got in school might have scared my parents too, but I got through it. Hallelujah. Just like Brad says, hallelujah, amen. Okay. Just keep that in mind and just kind of evaluate our own images as well, if we would, please. So let me just make a couple more notations here.
Brother, I've got our son from Texas, Terry. They're coming east, and matter of fact, I think they're going to be visiting with us.
Coming in?
Tomorrow, Tuesday. Terry and Lynette, friends with them. Keep them in our prayers, giving them traveling mercy and so forth.
Thank you. Okay. All right, let us set our bodies and our minds in a position to talk to the Lord and listen to what he's got to say, okay? Father God, again, as we come before you and we enjoy the signs of spring, oh Father, may we be reminded that the beauty of your green earth and the floral are gifts to be treasured. Oh Father, though that they are temporary and will surely fade, we just know, Father, they represent a promise of renewal to be enjoyed again and again. Father, may we recognize the beauty in life's cycle and offer gratitude to you, Heavenly Father, for your many blessings. Oh Lord, we sing your praise and we celebrate and we give grief, for in all seasons there is evidence of your paternity, love, and dominion. So Father, we just ask that you share that with us today. As we lift up so many things here, that we have a constant church that has been around for so many years and well cared for. And Father, that is the way our bodies should be, to be around for years and to be well cared for. And Father, we're even healed even more when the Spirit has touched our soul. Oh Father, as we go forth this day, thinking of those that are having many ailments in this life and are allergic to many things, and just feel kind of, excuse the word rotten, but that's how they feel. But Father, we think too, as we go down this list, we want to think of my wife Linda that has got the coughing and the head troubles and the back troubles, a little bit of everything. So Father, just continue to touch her and keep her strong till we find out what the conclusions might be. And Father, you know Deb, she took a fall, trying to be helpful and trying to get things done. Oh, Father, just allow your healing powers to be in there and to remove the soreness. Oh, Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. And then there's Wanda and Francis that have various ailments and have various things they need tests for. Oh, Father, just lift them up. We know you can give them strength to get through. Oh, Father God, we are so glad that we have you to call upon, because there's so many others, Heavenly Father. Stephen Fay that has been aggravated by this stuff that's going around. And so, Father, we just know that you are the physician. You operate the clinic. And, Father, we just praise you for that. Then there's George, Alice's friend, that has been kind of, putting up with so many things in his life that makes him feel down. But, Father, we just know that you can lift him up and give him strength. So, Father, thank you for hearing that. Then there's Irene and Deb, Father, in the nursing home, and the travels, and the love that is shared between one and all. Just give them strength to endure. Lift them up, touch their bodies, and may they be healed. And then there's Nancy's friend that needs tests to be done. Father, we all have ailments we can't see inside, but with the modern equipment, they can do wonders, but then sometimes they can't. But Father, we just pray that the test will come out positive. And then if Pat has many ailments too, Lord, so just lift her up. I know she's had an MRI. And Father, just give her the strength to go, and may her treatment come quick. And then Father, for myself, I ask that you would touch this body. Lord knows that I've had my fair share of pain, and we just ask you would give us some relief. And Father, we think of Wilton and his family and Tammy and all the things they're going through this day, Heavenly Father. I don't know if there's a stop to many things, but Father, we just pray that you would lift him up. You give him the strength, and might he be able to keep his balance and his welfare intact. Oh, Father, we just ask for a blessing upon our country and our leaders and Ukraine. And Father, there's so many out there this day that in our shootings in this country, people are crazy. Father, somehow, can you help ease that and bring people back to sanity and respect and love? And Father, we do have Jackie and Sam with us today, and we're so elated for them to be in our presence and for Sam to be the PA of the clinic as a helpful hand. And Father, we just look forward to them each and every time. And as Sam steps up to the pulpit here today to teach, oh Father, let his voice be strong and let the pain be wiped away, that he can bring your message to a waiting audience. Oh, Father, then there's Jerry's friend, Pat, not knowing the circumstances, but needs a little refreshment too in her body and her mind and her spirit. And then there's Carol, which is ill from some nature. Oh, Father, lift her up and give her strength. Unspoken prayers of Jerry and his list and Jerry himself. And Father, we just know that what we do and how we do it doesn't really matter. It's what Jesus sees us do and how we provide in his care. There's Woody and Phil, and then there's family revelations for salvation in that family. So Father, we just ask for healing powers to be in the midst of them as well, and to know that they are loved. And Father, we know that Michelle back here has had the same stuff going around, and we ask that you lift her up and give her care this day, that she might be comforted. And Father, there's a Baker family. Ricky's here, but the rest of them are taking the leave. Be with them wherever they are, for we know there's many ailments to be taken care of. And then there's Terry and Lynette coming in from Texas and traveling. So, oh, Father, just be in the midst of them and give them the safety they need, because it isn't only what they do and how they operate equipment. It's the many vehicles elsewhere on the road. So, Father, we have many this day to be called upon you to look after. It's not only here in our church, but, Father, it's in every location. You know all. You see all. And you can understand how we respond to your will. And, Father, we just ask that you would instruct us so much to follow that path each and every day. And, Father, we just have total respect for each and every moment that we can open our voices and our minds to you and our hearts. So, Father, let us redeem those virtues by speaking the Lord's Prayer to you in unison this day, as we would say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we'll be favored by him, please.
Hymn number 458. Please stand and pray.
Thank you.
scriptural reading for this morning is John 20, 11 through 18. As we look at the sermon titled, The Disciples Met Their Risen Savior. Wouldn't that be an experience to be able to just share personally that account with him? Not just shake his hand, but give him a hug. Amen to that. So let us read this. Follow along, please. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stood down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. At this time, we're going to call on the physician to speak the words to us, Brother Sam. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mother. Well, I've been in the ministry 61 years. I've never been called a physician's assistant. But I'll tell you, that is a description. I don't know about your physician assistants, but mine, first of all, they're very expert. They're very knowledgeable. They never speak ill of the physician. But they tell the physician what's going on. So I guess I'm going to have to get your blood pressure, your weight, your height, your blood count, your oxygen count, and I'll report it to the master after a while. On Easter Sunday morning, we talked about the resurrection. Today, we're going to talk about people who met the risen Savior. Let's bow down in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your word. Thank you that we can be here. Thank you that you are risen. We think of the world today, very few people believe in the resurrection. No wonder the problems they have. Thank you that you are risen, you were seen, you ascended, you're interceding right now, and you are coming. Help us to do your will, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. In Acts 1:3, that's the theme that I'm working at. It says, And to whom Jesus showed himself alive after his passion, with many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The word show, it says it showed himself. The Greek word for stand is istemi. The Greek word for against is anti. So when you get sick, the doctor gives you antihistamine, which what? Stands against whatever you have. So the word istemi just simply means stand. The word we have here is para, parallel. So it means Jesus came and stood alongside. Stood beside them. When my daughter comes, my wife and my daughter love shopping. I love walking around the store. It's less expensive, except wears out my shoes. But I also enjoy watching Beth and Jackie come down an aisle somewhere and just stand totally still, especially in front of female mannequins. Say nothing. Finally, hello, Beth. She's surprised. Then she surprised me. Took out her smartphone, took a picture of me, and put it on Facebook before I could get home. So you never know. Just standing there. So Jesus came and stood in their midst. This next word we want to do, it says he showed himself. It says he was seen. Putting the two together, it means Jesus stood there long enough they knew who he was. We believe that Jesus appeared about 11 times. I'm going to look at five of these. But all these people knew it was Jesus. When we finish each of the passage, it isn't, well, it looks like Jesus, kind of talk like him. That was Jesus. You knew that person. If you ever go in a store and you see somebody and you recognize who that person is. Years ago, Costco, Jan Gardner was shopping. Do you know Jan Gardner, former county executive? So I just let her come by and said, hi, Jan, praying for you. I didn't know, you know, didn't bother her, but at least she knew that I knew who she was. As we live through life, do you know who Jesus is? Have you met Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior? Someone told Billy Graham one time that God is dead. And Billy Graham said, we must have died recently. I talked to him this morning. So it has the idea of being there and being recognizable. And then the word infallible proofs is only one word, but it means a sure sign. You could not mistake this. Did Thomas have any confusion about the body of Jesus? When Jesus put out his hand, were there any other pair of hands on earth like that with his nail prints? So we're going to see that in just a little bit. When Jack and I were down in D.C., and I retired from the church, we realized we needed to begin to get out of Dodge. We needed to move. So we looked at the housing developments from Westminster to Lancaster to Chambersburg to Hagerstown to Frederick, Vermont. And during that time, Jackie's nephew, Greg, got married. And they were building a home and a development in Hanover, Pennsylvania. Okay, that's within the region. So I said to Greg, sometime we want to go by. He gave me the address. It was still under construction. We could get in. I said, Greg, sometime Jackie and I are going to go by to visit your house. I'm going to take a 3x5 card, and on that card I'm going to put, Uncle Sam was here. I mean, I'm his uncle. He didn't call me that. He called me Sam. So we found the place. We went up there, and I took that 3x5 card, went in the kitchen, and put it on the kitchen windowsill. A day or so later, his father-in-law was happened to wander through, saw this, went to Greg. Hey, Greg, what does this mean? Uncle Sam was here. I mean, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? IRS? FBI? Secret Service? And he laughed and said, that was Sam. And he never said, I wonder who that is. See, that was a proof that I was there. So we want to know today, how can we know Jesus is alive? People saw him. We want to deal with some of these. And we'll begin in Matthew 28, where we were the last time, and I stopped at verse 8, but we're going to go to verse 9. So Jesus came, and these ladies went to the grave. One other thing, looking at all these people here, were they planning a sunrise service? I don't think they were. And Jerry planned a great sunrise service here. But when these people went to the sepulcher, were they going to a sunrise service? No. Would Thomas be interested in going to a sunrise service at this point? No way. So the ladies went. We pick up in verse 9. And as they went, these ladies went to tell his disciples. The angel said, go tell the disciples. So they're on the way. They're going to walking down from the sepulcher. Jesus met them, said, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they will see me." So look at these two ladies. These two ladies are going to go to Peter and John and Thomas. And they're going to say, "Hey, I've got great news. Jesus is alive." And they're going to, what would Thomas first thing he would say? "How you know?" And what they would say, "We went down to the graveyard in Rocky Ridge. We saw an angel sitting on a stone. He said he's alive." And Thomas would say what? "That's a likely story."
Yeah.
But these ones could say, "Yes, we were in the sepulcher. The stone was rolled back. Angel said that. But we saw Jesus." Of all the things in life, to see Jesus, to have a relationship with the Lord. I appreciate all relationships on earth. And you do too. But what's the most precious? That relationship with Jesus. When you meet Jesus, you know you've met Jesus. When Jesus saves you, you know you are saved. When I accepted Christ, I didn't change any theology. I didn't change any church. I didn't even change where I sat in the pews. But what's changed? Inside. I knew Jesus as my Savior. So they had to have documentation when they went. Now the second person that we're looking at, Brother Bob read the passage, and that is over in John 20, and Mary Magdalene. And each one of these disciples, I'm saying, had a need. What was Mary Magdalene's problem? John 20, verse 11. "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping." We had a great sunrise service here. I'm glad, Jerry, you invited me. I've got a sermon illustration that I'll use the rest of my life. We went out front here, and Jerry was leading. The sun had come up. Remember the sun come up? Sun was shining on the cemetery. Sun was shining on us. Shining Catoctin Mountain. Did you take notice down Detour and through there? Thick fog. If you'd ask those people, "What was the weather like?" They say, "We're in the fog." We weren't in the fog. Why? We're above the fog. We're in the sun. We weren't in the fog. And so here is Mary Magdalene weeping. Can you imagine if we'd gone out here on that sunrise service and Jerry's about to go and somebody would just start weeping, just crying our hearts out. We want to know, why are you weeping? "We're weeping because Jesus died." Well, yeah, but he arose. So what I'm saying, she needed a new direction. She was thinking about a dead corpse. Think about it. She was looking for a dead corpse, and what was she doing? Talking to an eternal God. Can you believe the contrast of that? She was looking for a graveyard. We're looking for a risen Savior. And so, you know, the scripture's already read. She was weeping. Why have you weep? Well, where do you put his body? We didn't put his body anywhere. He's in his body talking to you. What a revelation she had to have. And then Jesus asked her, "Why are you weeping?" And she said, "If you've taken his body, let me know where you put him." This is still a rumor today, but it doesn't work. Because when Jesus lives in our hearts, we know he's not dead. He's alive, lives within us. And I assume, and the Bible doesn't say anything about it, but Jesus said to her, "Mary." I assume, however he said that word and that voice, she recognized him. Have you ever talked to people, and maybe they're getting older, but their voice is still the same? I recognize that voice. And so the way Jesus talked to her, she recognized. And then she came and turned to him, "Rabboni, Master." And then Jesus says, "Don't cling to me." Now, I believe what we have here is don't hold on to me. Don't cling to me. This relationship is only going to last another 40 days. Remember, Jesus rose, and 40 days later, he's going to ascend to heaven. And I know that maybe the disciples were not as excited about the ascension as we would be. Well, I know even in Rocky Ridge, when you've had a pastor that's going to leave, you generally don't want to have a cheer. Yeah, I'm glad he's going. You feel sad when someone's going or someone's going away. But there's going to be a new relationship. And so she's clinging to what she had. But what she's going to get is much better. Also, I believe that it means that Jesus is not for Mary alone. There are groups today that are very exclusive. Some years ago, when I was pastoring in the D.C. area, we were having a revival with a famous evangelist in Constitution Hall downtown D.C. So my job was to call the churches, Bible preaching churches, and tell them we're having revival, bringing people, bringing young people. There's good music, good preaching. And so I was talking to a pastor in Virginia. And all I just called him saying, we'd love to have you come. When I finished, he said, what's the name of your church? I said, Grace Memorial Church, my wife's home church. He said, well, you wouldn't be able to preach in my church. I wasn't asking to preach in his church. I was just calling him to tell him about the revival meeting. So he said, you couldn't preach in my church. I said, Pastor so-and-so, you know, it's really not going to be a problem. The church where I'm pastoring, they invite me to preach every Sunday morning. Now, why would I be excluded from his church? Preach the same thing, but I didn't have the same middle name for the denomination he had. And when I retired, I wrote letters to various people, and I had a church that a classmate of mine in Bible college started. So I wrote to them. I got a letter back, and they said, we couldn't have you speak in our church because it would be too confusing to have a Bible pastor preaching in a Baptist church. Not a problem. I have a place I can preach every Sunday. Can't preach more than one place at a time. But it's kind of like, it's all for me. Well, listen, Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And there are people that are in liberal churches that are saved. There are people in fundamental churches that are not saved. I mean, I was in a fundamental church before I accepted Jesus. I know I was 10, but before that. So Jesus is for all of us. And not just alone. So Mary is not for just you alone. But you Jewish people, in the book of Acts, are going to have to go out and you're going to reach the Gentiles. You're going to go to Rome. You're going to go to Corinth. You're going to reach around the world. The gospel came to Europe. Aren't you glad the gospel came to America? I'm glad that someone told me about Jesus. And someone told him about Jesus. From today till the day of Pentecost, how many generations told people, told people, told people, they came to you? And it's not going to stop with us. We're going to tell others. So Mary Magdalene needed a new direction. Then we have in Luke 24, we call this the two on the road to Emmaus. It's a long passage. We'll not look all of it. But they have these two guys were in Jerusalem, and they're walking along, and they're talking and talking and talking. And Jesus comes along beside them and says, what are you all talking about? And they said, oh, we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. Well, what about him? Well, we thought he was the one going to redeem Israel. But he died. He was crucified. Now, they can't find his body. And you would say, amen, hallelujah. But they weren't saying that to walk along sad. If you don't know the resurrection, you're sad. So Jesus comes alongside them. and begins to talk with them about what's going on. And in Luke 25, in Luke 24, once again, gone for a while, and they're so sad. If you don't have the resurrection, you're sad. Being sad on Easter. Easter Monday isn't going to make you happy. Jesus being alive is going to make you happy. So Jesus then, as they're talking along, says, we thought he would redeem Israel. You know what their problem was? They were looking for a physical solution to a spiritual problem. What was the problem with Israel when Jesus was here? Their hearts were not right. There was corruption in leadership. There was favoritism. There were political parties. Have you ever heard of such a thing? There was a swamp. Now, what I'm saying today in America, the solution in America is not a political solution. It's a spiritual solution. And if America is ever going to get right with the Lord, it is not going to begin in Washington, D.C. and Capitol Hill. It began in their churches. One advantage, I guess it's an advantage, of being this old, I've seen in Maryland churches from the 1940s to the day, and you folks know what I'm talking about, denomination after denomination departing from the Word of God, and they wonder why we got the problems we've got. When I see those riots in Chicago, I think, does anyone ever tell these boys and girls about the Word of God? We're a Bible-less country, and we wonder why we have our problems. So we can get a new president, a new governor, new county commissioner. I don't want to get involved in politics, but apparently Chicago has not had good days ahead from what I hear about the incoming governor, mayor, make the outgoing one look pretty good. It's a spiritual problem. And so these guys were saying, if we could have redeemed Israel, if we could just get rid of those Romans, if we could just get rid of those Edomites. And what was the problem? In their own heart. And what was the big issue? If we let him rule, our power will be gone. Power hungry people. Spiritual solution, you need Jesus as your Savior. So then Jesus began to say to them, O fools and slow heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, to enter his glory? Then I love this. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He explained. Can you imagine how he was walking along? And he said, no, that Passover, there had to be a sinless sacrifice, right? There's only one sinless sacrifice. Jesus is the only Passover. What would happen on the Passover if you took an old sheep, maybe an old goat, killed it, spread the blood? You'd be dead. You had to have a perfect lamb and spread the blood over the door. If you didn't do it, death. Today, Jesus is the Lamb of God. So he began to say all these things. Isaiah 53 talks about he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of his peace was put upon him. Excuse me. So there's so much in the Bible about Jesus. One of the former elders in our church in Frederick has a Jewish background, and for his occupation does a lot of flying. He always carries a Hebrew Bible. So one of the flights from D.C. to Los Angeles, that's a pretty good time. He walked up down the aisle, he saw a Jewish fellow. So without saying anything, he goes back, gets his Bible. He walks up to this Jewish fella. He said, Jewish, yeah. Could you read this passage of scripture in the Hebrew Bible? And I'm in row so and so and so. And come back and get, what's your idea of it? You know what it was? Isaiah 53. He didn't say anything. He wasn't saying he's a Christian. Just here's the Hebrew Bible. Have you ever looked at Hebrew Isaiah 53? Later on, the guy came back, closed the Bible, and said, "No discussion." Which means what? No salvation. Isn't that sad to read Isaiah 53 and you can't see Jesus? And so he's explaining all these things to these ones. They need discernment. You ever read the Bible and you wonder, what does that mean? I know I don't do it here because I'm not here that much, but generally as a pastor, I preach through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Frank and Pat know that. We started 1 week ago the whole way through. The only problem is sometimes there are verses in the Bible, I'm not sure what it means. I say, "Lord, that verse is coming up next week, and I don't know what it means. What am I going to say?" And I knew people well enough to know, if I skip the verse, somebody's going to, "Hey, preacher, you forgot verse 2. You know why I forgot it? I didn't know what it meant. So I've had to God show me something in that verse of Scripture. And there have been amazing times God has shown me in his word. That's what it means. That's what it is. Physician's assistant. All right. Now we got that taken care of. So what we find here, these ones needed discernment. When we read the Bible, let's understand what it means. I've heard people say they read the book of John and found no claims of Christ. I say, what translation were you in? It's full of that. So they needed discernment. Then we go to that fellow. His name is Doubting Thomas. Why do they call him Doubting Thomas? Because he's always doubting. So in John chapter 20, beginning 24, Thomas was not with them when Jesus was with them. So 11 disciples, Thomas is not there. You ever find out? The guy that doesn't show up is the fellow that really needs it. So the 10 of them later on say, "Hey, Thomas, you should have been here yesterday. Jesus was here." And what did he say? "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my fingers in the print of the nails, thrust my hand to his side, I'm not going to believe." Aren't you glad there is a man in the Bible called Doubting Thomas? So we don't have a Doubting Debbie, Doubting Sam, Doubting Ralph, and so forth. Aren't you glad you had a guy like that in the Bible that had wanted to have evidence? He said, "I want to see this." So later on, it says 8 days later, Thomas was with them. Jesus came and stood. Remember that word? Stand. He just stood there. And then look what happens. "Peace unto you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, here's 11 disciples, "Thomas, reach hither your finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither your hand. Thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing." If you want to believe, do that way. And I've known the people that got saved, you wonder, how would God do that? There was a fellow, a pilot, and he got confused in fog and knew there's a mountain around. And he prayed, "Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll accept you." And about that time, a flash of lightning revealed the mountain, turned the plane around, and landed. Talk about getting saved. Now, why God would do that, I don't know. But what is it you're saying? God showed me. Jesus could have said, "Thomas, what kind of a heathen are you?" Right? He could have said that. He didn't. He said, "Look at my hand. I'm amazed at my own self. I'm amazed at my own stupidity and stubbornness." How many times do we challenge the Lord? "Lord, you got to do this. You got to do that." I was thinking about this. How many answers to prayer have we had thus far in our life? How many more times does God have to answer prayer before we believe him? He's already done it. All these things. So Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas believed. I like what Jesus said, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe." This is what I really love. "Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed." You know who that includes? us today. I think Jesus is saying, Thomas, you had to see the evidence. But I'm going to bless the ones at Rocky Ridge who weren't there 2,000 years ago, but we still believe. So we're blessed because Thomas had his doubts, but those doubts were verified and cleaned and removed by the Lord. The last one I'm looking at is John 21, 15 to 20, and we go back to Peter. Thomas had his doubts. Peter had a problem with his devotion to the Lord. And so in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said to him, yea, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Did a second time. Did a third time. I'll go with that in just a little bit. What Jesus is saying, Simon, son of Jonas, agapao, there are two different Greek words that we have here. What Jesus is saying, Peter, do you love me with all your heart? And Peter said, we're good friends. Is that the same? Not necessarily. 1958, I was dating a girl from Hagerstown. I dated her for about a year. Being a newspaper reporter, my dating was limited to the weekend because I worked off nights during the week. So before cell phone, before email, we would begin our dates with our various activities, my reporting, newspaper reporting. She's a student in South Hagerstown High School. And so we'd go, and then we would visit family and friends and so forth. So one day, went through our routine, and she said to me, Sam, I want us to be friends. I said, friends? We've been dating for a year. She changed it. She said, I mean, just friends. Is there a difference between boyfriend and girlfriend and just friend? Just friend. About 15 seconds later, I remember things in front of me I had to do and I got out of there. There's a difference between being just a friend and really being deeply in love with the Lord. Now give Peter credit. Jesus said, do you love me with all your heart? A lot of people would say yes. Well then, what about tomorrow? Second time, same thing. He said to him, Simon, love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Same thing. Third time. You don't get this in English. He said to him, Simon, I'll be good friends. He changed. He had deep love, friend. Deep love, friend. The third time, he said, okay, Peter, I'll be friends. That almost broke Peter's heart. You know, God knows how much we love him. We might fool the preacher, but you can fool the Lord. And so Jesus said, Peter, are we good friends? Peter was grieved because he said to him, lovest thou me. I think he was grieved because God came down to his level. Are we actually good friends? All right, forget the deep love. Are we friends of Jesus? We sing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Could he sing the same thing back to us? What a friend I have in the Rocky Ridge? It's a question. He said, the Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know my heart. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So here we are today. God knows our hearts. God knows how much we love him. I can tell you, with the world all around us, you can't turn your television on without having a spiritual screen for all the stuff that's on there. And in my life, I've had to deal with things in the world, not sinful, but it just robbed me of that love of the Lord. So here we have a risen Savior. He wants us to love him with all our heart and serve him to the best of our ability. May God give us that deep, abiding love for serving him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for today. Thank you that you loved us so much. You went to Calvary's cross. You died. You were buried. You arose. You were here 40 days. You ascended. You're coming. May we love you with a love like that as well. May we love you with that deep abiding love and looking for your coming. As we pray in Christ's name, amen.
Momentarily, we look at the storms and the problems instead of the Almighty. Lord Jesus, forgive us our doubts. Grant us continued hope and encouragement. Take our hand. Lead us on the oath that leads us to heaven and home. Quiet the storms and make everything beautiful in your time. In Jesus' name we pray.